Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, today I am joined by Tyler Aki as we sit here and break down all the Chicago Bears being too conservative in free agency, also grading some of the Bears moves, and we have a great conversation on the center that is still very relevant, but seeing as how we pre-record all of this, the names are not the right names for what the Bears have recently done, because since we recorded this, per Brad Biggs, the Bears are expected to sign center Coleman Shelton to a one-year deal, comes from the Rams, an option to compete with Ryan Bates at the position. Now, you guys know I'm not a big believer at Ryan Bates actually playing center. That just seems to be the thing that everybody's running with here, that we traded for him, so he's got to be the starting center. I think that Coleman Shelton more fits with this. He's played in about 32 starts in the last couple of seasons for the Los Angeles Rams as the starting center. He is somebody who comes in here on a one-year deal that I still believe allows you an opportunity to draft a rookie and get give him kind of that bridge year for either the rookie comes in and he beats him out straight up, or you have Coleman Shelton go in there and start. Gave up about 6 penalties last year, a couple of sacks, but nothing crazy. A solid get for the Chicago Bears, especially from a veteran perspective, depending on what you do on the offensive line moving forward. We'll talk about all that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. See you on the other side. Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Tyler Aki in the building. Tyler, we got a grade, free agent moves thus far, and the Bears being a little bit too conservative. We got to break that down as well. All that and more coming on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We've moved the offices again. It's a beautiful day tonight. Beautiful day. I love this.
I think we've had amazing weather.
How many days?
There's a sailboat flying down there. Jeez, like watch
summertime
that
shy.
What summertime shy? Somehow we got to July already. Tyler, how you been, my guy? It's been a while since we had you on the podcast.
It has. I think the last time I was on here, I picked like a 5-12 Packer team. So,
I think you're right. That was a tough time for all of us because they did not go 5-12.
Far from it,
ladies and gentlemen. But we got to talk about some of the moves that the Bears have made to try and improve. I mean, it's been a quiet free agency thus far. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask you this. Has Ryan Poles been too conservative in his approach to trying to add to this team? We've seen some interesting moves. DeAndre Swift seems to be the big name move, which is kind of awkward for me as a guy who doesn't believe you pay running backs. Mm-hmm. But you add Kevin Byard onto the team. He spoke to the media today as well. You look at some of the depth moves it seems that have been made on this offensive line. How do you feel about what Ryan Poles has done to this point?
I do think it's been a conservative approach. And when you're talking about free agency, taking a conservative approach is never going to really bode well for you from a headline standpoint. Yeah. Now, whether or not it pans out during the season, you have to wait and see. But think about last year and really just Ryan Poles in general. It feels like everything he's done as general manager has been value-based. There's a couple outliers here and there. I think the Tremaine Edmonds signing last year wasn't a quote-unquote value-based move. I think that the Chase Claypool and even the Montez Sweat trade, even though the Montez Sweat trade has worked out so far, but I wouldn't consider those to be value-based moves. But pretty much everything else it's felt like has been he kind of has his number, and you're not going to go past it. Right. And if you go past it, guess what? He's not interested anymore. Right. So that's kind of where I'm. And I think it's just his MO in general as a general manager has been to be acting conservatively. And maybe it doesn't feel that way because you've had the big hit with Montez Sweat so far. Yeah. You've had the big flop with Chase Claypool. And you've got the great reward by getting DJ Moore and the number one overall pick in this year's draft, but everything for him has felt value-based. Yeah. And I think this free agency is just another example of that, that it looked like the Bears weren't going to meet a certain price on a guy like Danielle Hunter, on some of these other pass rushers, on receivers, even maybe getting into the trade market. Who knows? Maybe there's still a trade out there to be made, But everything is going to come down to value with him. And that's just where we're at in this offseason.
It's so tough because, right, the Danielle Hunter one, when you see it, I mean, it's very different because he's probably asking for different money in Chicago than he's asking for in Texas because of the taxes situation and all of that. But when you see a guy get signed for basically $24.5 million, you go, all right, like we got the money. Like we can't meet that kind of price. And I do agree with you. It seems like he's a very value-based person, very value-based style. And he's told us the entire time he wants to continue to build this thing through the draft. He's not looking to go out there and try and add the big name to this team and kind of Khalil Mack this whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was the Ryan Pace swing. It puts you in a position where your back was against the wall. You had no options. You had to go out and win a championship or at least go far in the playoffs with Khalil Mack. And we weren't able to do that with the quarterback situation and coaching situation that we had here. He's not going to put himself in that kind of position where it's all or nothing to go in on this. And I think that rubs fans the wrong way. Number one, I heard somebody say this yesterday, because you can't go into work and beat your chest about the Kevin Byard signing. Right? Like, you can't be hey, we're coming for you, Detroit. Like, you can't argue with the coworkers at work who are Lions fans when you bring in Kevin Byard and DeAndre Swift. It's like, all right, you brought in a couple of guys and you probably overpaid for the running back that you got. Like,
right.
So it just doesn't feel as a fan like he's doing as much, but I do think he's made some value moves and some moves that the Bears needed to see made.
For sure. And you did fix some of your needs, backup offensive lineman through a trade. Maybe he's even the center with Ryan Bates. Oof. If he's the center for the future, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that move, but it's something that like, let's be honest, it's something that could be what happens for this Bears team when we do get to the opening week of the season. You addressed your safety concerns, but I still think you've got a massive, massive hole at your second edge rusher and at your second wide receiver. And
at your center position, number one. And,
yes, but at least you've done a little something potentially to fix that. You haven't done anything to address the edge and to address what you have in the receiver room right now. And now you're going to do some of that in the draft, right? You've got the number one overall pick, but you've also got the 9 pick.
Right.
And in a draft that's flush with receivers, edge rushers, this is a good draft to need one of those two pieces. It's part of why I'm very anti-drafting a tackle at 9 if I'm the Chicago Bears. It's not that I necessarily think Braxton Jones is the tackle of the future, but the drop-off between whoever you would draft, Joe Alt, Olufoshana, whoever you would draft at 9 to Braxton Jones is not nearly as big of a gap as there is from DeMarcus Walker to whoever your edge rusher would be, or Tyler Scott to whatever wide receiver you would be drafting in the draft.
And this is what makes it tough, right? Do you go in with two young guys on this defensive line and the only way you address it through the draft, right? We can get it in early here, our Toyota Road to the Draft, Toyota Let's Go Places. At 9, do you have to take one of these edge rushers who could make an impact now because you haven't addressed it in free agency? And yes, we're going to get DJ Wonnum in here. Mm-hmm. But to me, DJ Wonnum feels like, first off, great DJ name. You got to be able to work that out somehow and play play some music at training camp or something. You got to. Do you want him or not?
I think we need a DJ battle between DJ Moore and DJ Wonnum.
That's
if he comes in.
Do you want DJ less? Now we want DJ Moore. Oh, what does DJ want? He want him. Yeah, I mean, that's not bad. That's mad cheesy right there. That was crazy. Eric is dying laughing. I love the fact that that just took him out. But, like, when you look at the draft right now, even with adding DJ Wonnum, that feels like a DeMarcus Walker move to me.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. So, guy who's had, like, a couple pop-up years, but he's not an established pass rusher like what you would have gotten if you had gotten Danielle Hunter.
And I would say to this, right, even if you look at the sacks that he does have, and I broke this down. I started going through all the sacks he's got, and then I looked at, and I think Tommy Waddle said this yesterday as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think 8 of them are
seven
against
and a
the
half,
Bears. 7.5 sacks come against the Bears. Mm-hmm. Is he a Bears killer? Like, is that kind of what this is? Like, we're signing the guy that's just been murdering us basically his entire career. Like, I don't know. I'm not high on the signing. So at nine, like, not I'm not out on it, but I'm not losing my mind at it. So at nine, do you have to take one of these edge rushers in your mind if they're there? A Jared Verse, a Dallas Turner, one of those guys that you know is going to make an impact.
Well, this is going to sound like a cop-out, but I think that it's just how the board falls to you. I would put receiver over edge rusher right now.
Okay.
If and I think the Bears got some good news yesterday in terms of the potential of getting a receiver at nine when the Titans went out and signed Calvin Ridley to a boatload of money. Like, I don't think anybody saw that coming, but they're drafting seven right now. They're one of those reported teams that could be in the market for a Roma Dunze or a Malik Nabers there. But that, I feel like, when you have drafted Treylon Burks, you've signed DeAndre Hopkins, and now you sign Calvin Ridley to really big money, that effectively takes you out of it, in my opinion. So that's one team that the Bears really don't have to worry about drafting a receiver. I don't think you have to worry about Atlanta drafting a receiver at eight. I'd imagine they're going defense there. And I think if you're the Bears, it got a little bit rosier as to the potential of getting a receiver at nine. And I think that, listen, the defense was great last year once Montez Sweat got in here. If you run back last year's defense from the time Montez Sweat got in here to the end of the year, and that is your defense for next year, I'm going to be happy with that. I'm not going to be happy if Tyler Scott's my second receiver. Or even if you pick up – now, Mike Williams
– I get you on that. I'm not saying that I'm glowing and brimming with excitement to see Tyler Scott out there. But at a certain point, not to say you don't take a receiver at all, but don't you have to develop some of the guys? I mean, you've taken
two receivers
here, and neither of them look like they are the number two receiver you need.
No, you do need to try to develop Tyler Scott, no doubt about that. But maybe develop him in a role that's more suited to what we've seen, and that is a third receiver role right now. Can he emerge as a third receiver in this offense? That's what we'll have to wait and find out.
Yeah, it's going to be – I mean, listen, there's still – I think even as you go later in the draft, right, if the Bears do end up going the Caleb Williams route at quarterback, if he falls to the third round, what's Brendan Rice got going on? I would love to keep that pairing together. What, 6'3"? First off, Jerry Rice's kid. So good roots, good genes.
Good genes, you know what I mean? Good genes like Marvin.
On this kid. Mm-hmm. Amazing. But 6'3", I want to say 190 pounds, maybe 200 pounds already. Like,
he's a burner,
Big burner, yeah, I mean, big body. Like, I would like to get, I think that's a pairing that you can have as your number two receiver. And the thing is, everybody you bring in, you've got DJ Moore opposite of. So that alleviates the development and stuff like that. I think receiver is important, but more important to me is making sure that my quarterback can stand up, especially if I have a rookie quarterback. To me, if I'm making any move, I get if the edge rushers get to you, it makes it tough for me because I think you haven't addressed it. That makes it very difficult to not address it in the draft. But the center position is arguably the most important position that we need to address. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about possibly playing a dude in there who, no disrespect to Ryan Bates, but 151 snaps at center, I believe, in his career to this point, 19 starts. I mean, like, it's not a crazy 151 snaps last year at center, I should say. 19 starts in his career. Like, it's not a crazy sample size of, like, this is what I want to see this guy go out there and do. And so I think, right, like, we saw the Bears send out eight coaches to Oregon, including Matt Eberflus, to look at, we know who, Jackson Powers Johnson. Yeah. There's other players there, but Jackson Powers Johnson. Yeah. I feel like how the Bears have positioned themselves with the backup guards and things like that, to me, talks more to, we know we might have a rookie center in here, and we need to make sure he's got veterans at every position around him to keep him focused and locked in.
Center is definitely a need on this team. And there's still centers that you could sign in free agency as well. Can you draft one at some point? Maybe you trade down from nine to land yourself in a sweet spot to draft a center. Maybe you get some extra capital out of that as well. Who knows? Maybe there's a quarterback needy team. But I do think that the center position, you're right, like with a rookie quarterback, I think it would be better to have a veteran center in here.
Yeah.
As opposed to two guys that grow together. I'd rather have a guy that rookie comes in, can lean on as a safety blanket. Takes a little bit of the mental load off of the quarterback as well, right, for a rookie quarterback. And then, all right, you bring in a veteran center. They live out the length of their contract, and then they're out of here by the end of that contract. But then the quarterback's a little bit more caught up. They can take more responsibility on, and they can make some of these checks at the line as opposed to having to rely on a center to take on that responsibility.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that as well. I think that does make it – I would rather go the veteran center route. I'm not – like the big names, like Connor Williams is the name that people keep throwing at me. Big guys don't get healthier. When they break down, yeah, they're going to continue to break down. I would love to see like – sit there and say that he's going to come back from his ACL. He's going to be fine. He's going to stand in there. He's going to be the dominant center that we've seen him be in Miami. But I don't believe that. Like, I don't trust it. Like, I when we saw Tevin Jenkins get hurt his first year, I was like, this kid's going to be a monster when he's on the field. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be on the field? And he hasn't been. And I think that's the part that makes it tough for me, right? Like, the list of centers that's out there, like, I don't know, has Evan Brown been picked up yet, EO? I think Evan Brown's still out there. He was with Shane Waldron in Seattle. That's a name that I'd be interested in because they basically just did the same thing with him out in Seattle where they had him as the veteran center for a year, mm-hmm, and then they played their rookie that they went out and drafted.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a recipe for success if you were to go vet. But if that's the case, are you taking a center possibly in the first round at that point and letting him sit? Like, you know, the politics of it still come into play.
Yeah, I think if you do go out and sign a guy, they're the starter. You want to, I'm willing, because wherever you're drafting a center, in all likelihood, yeah, unless you are getting Jackson Powers Johnson as a result of trading out of nine, in all likelihood, you're getting a guy in what, third, fourth, fifth round? Like, you're getting someone later in the draft.
Probably, yeah. If you don't go Jackson Powers, I think what's Cedric Van Praan is the other guy. That's
but you don't have a second round pick,
right?
So you're not not really in a sweet spot to draft a center unless you get a guy in the later portions of the draft. So let him come in, learn behind a vet for a year or two. You don't have to go out and spend stupid money on a center. And who knows, maybe there'll be a cut that comes down. There's always, we see these guys that come in and they're just guns for hire, yeah, at a certain point. And maybe you bring that guy in to be your center for a year or two while the rookie learns behind them and you can develop them. And listen, it's football. Injuries happen.
Injuries are going to happen. That's right? Why I love that we're building depth.
Right, and that you need depth. Yeah. We saw it last year. There were times where, boy, this team needed some depth, yes, on the offensive line, receiving room, all that. So,
yeah, well, hopefully we're able to build some more of that. Let's grade some of the depth that we have added. Let's grade, mm-hmm, some of the moves that we have made. When you look at the DeAndre Swift signing, I mean, right out the gates, boom, here we go. Mm-hmm. It's open, taking a running back, give them $7 million. What the heck are we doing? Mm-hmm. How do you look at the DeAndre Swift signing? What grade would you give that right now?
I'm with you, Pat. Like, I'm not in the let's sign a running back to big money business. Yeah. I'm not, especially for a team that had a fantastic running game last year. And I know some people will point to Justin Fields, that he's a big part of that running attack. No doubt he's a big part of that running attack. But I think people forget that Caleb Williams can run too. Mm-hmm. And he had 11 rushing touchdowns in college last year. It's tough to really like pin down rushing stats in college because sacks go against your rushing total.
Right.
So you don't really get a true number. I'm sure you can find like the net yardage that he, or like the gross yardage that he had rushing the football.
He did take some sacks last year.
He did take plenty of sacks last year. But I'm looking at the running game itself. Like, you've got a guy that you drafted last year. I know it's quote unquote not a good running back class in the draft. Right. But when is it ever a good running back class in the draft? And you still find guys like, yeah, Isaiah Pacheco, seventh rounder. You find guys in the fifth round, Kyron Williams last year. You find guys that are undrafted every single year. Yeah. They just pop up. And that's why, to me, if I'm talking about DeAndre Swift, I can't give it anything better than a C minus.
Yeah.
Dang. Especially,
I was going to go C even, but yeah, C minus is crazy.
Especially when you see what the Packers did.
Right.
And they signed Josh Jacobs to a contract that, sure, it's a big number, 4 for $48 million, but when only the first year is guaranteed, when you're only guaranteeing him $12 million, yeah, A, I'm a little surprised he even agreed to that deal. And B, when you're only guaranteeing a running back, like, I would have been fine with that. Right. You want to pay $12 million for a one-year running back experience when you're flush with cash and you don't have a ton of needs that necessarily need to be addressed in free agency. I think this team has plenty of needs, but the needs on this team feel more like draft needs as opposed to free agency needs, if that makes sense.
No,
guys that you want to bring in here, build with long-term around and kind of create a nucleus for this team. And also, you've got talent on your roster right now that you're going to have to re-up in as soon as next year. I mean, Tevin Jenkins is due money.
Yeah.
Guess what? There was not saying he's going to get this deal because he's probably not, but there's a guard that just signed for 5 years, $100 million.
Yep.
So
he's got to have a healthy season for that.
He does, yeah.
He's like, got to have a very healthy season for that.
Listen, he may have 5 years, $100 million talent, but he doesn't have 5 years, $100 million health.
Facts.
So you've got guys. You're going to have to pay your young secondary pieces. You're going to have to pay DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Like, there are big contracts that need to be handed out to young, talented, and producing players on this team. So that's why I feel like you have more draft needs as opposed to free agency needs, even though, like, you need a second receiver in here. I'd rather attack it through the draft than through free agency.
Yeah, especially receiver for sure. Like, with the running back signing, I mean, like, I don't know, man. Like, even to me, the issue we had at running back last year was, and as you go through it, you kind of see it. The only times that our running backs had great running games was when there wasn't the other guy to get in the way.
Yeah.
What I mean is, we were trying to give three running backs 10 carries each.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them are able to get into a rhythm. None of them are able to kind of figure out the flow of the game. Okay, this is how I do it. But every single time, they went, Khalil, it's your game because Deontay Foreman is out. Khalil Herbert runs the football well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Deontay Foreman, it's your game. Khalil Herbert's out with injury. We see four games of Deontay Foreman being an absolute dog running the football. Like, you don't have to go out and pay big money to get good production from the running back position. You just have to give them the ball. I swear, if you just decided to go, hey, look, we're rolling Khalil Herbert, we're going Roshan Johnson because we feel like he's a three-down back, and we're going to give him all of the snaps that he needs, it probably would have worked out because you've got guys on the offensive line that, yes, they struggle in the pass pro at times, but they're a pretty good run-blocking offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens up holes for guys to be able to run the football. Like, I'm not to say I'm not a fan of the move. I think that Swift will be helpful here. From a production standpoint, I would say that it is a B move. From production, you're going to get good.
You're
going to
get good production out of him. I agree.
From a contract standpoint, to me, I would say a C move, because you could just give the guys the ball that you have on the roster already.
Right, and that I'm right there with you. Like, people are going to look back, they're going to cut this clip up and say, "Oh, look, DeAndre Swift had a fantastic, ran for over 1,000 yards, caught 50 passes, and had."
He'll
10
probably
touchdowns.
Have his best receiving season with the Bears this
no
year.
No doubt. And that's something, too, that I think the Bears have also sorely missed since Matt Forte, is that true receiving threat out of the backfield. And he's going to check all those boxes.
I don't think we've even had one. I'm trying to think.
Like, Forte's probably the last.
That's kind of crazy.
Great one.
I mean,
right?
Tariq. Well,
Tariq. Okay,
But Tariq was kind of like a half and half back, and he wasn't an every down back.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we have?
More
you
of a
Jordan
get.
Howard, he couldn't catch.
No. Then you had Montgomery wasn't much
of
a receiver.
Montgomery couldn't catch. He developed into somebody who could catch kind of in that last couple of years here.
Khalil Herbert's not a guy that catches out of the backfield.
Like, that's crazy.
Like, Roshan's supposed to be that guy, though,
Roshan
right?
can be.
Like,
yeah,
Roshan can be that guy. But, like, I look at, like, Roshan's one of those sort of, like, muscle hamster type of guys, too, that who's, like, a bruiser. Loves contact. I don't feel like Swift's that guy. Swift's more of like a
speed back.
Yeah. He's going to outrun you as opposed to run you over.
Yeah.
So
now, still a big boy. 5'9". Was he 5'9", 220? 5'9", 215? Like, he is, like you said, a muscle hamster. Like, he can take the contact, but good speed on him. I mean, listen. Okay, you signed.
He'll have production. That's the
point.
We'll look back at this, and he'll have the production.
He'll have like 1,100 yards,
but it's
and
like
1,500 all-purpose yards
for sure. Yeah. But it's like, at what cost? Yeah. What was the cost of that? What are you missing out on by bringing that in?
And is that, and I was like,
and could Roshan or Khalil replicate that?
Is that the signing that made the money for Danielle Hunter too much? Like, that's yeah. the question that I'm asking now, because it's not like the Bears weren't talking to Danielle Hunter, right? It's not like they didn't have interest in bringing him here. So was that the signing that made Danielle Hunter? Because you would think if he's at 24 in Houston, which hometown discount maybe, mm-hmm. money's going to go further there. Mm-hmm. Is the he
guarantees
28?
On the deal?
Guarantees on the deal. Is he at 28 here? I mean, is yeah. he?
Well, there's the hometown discount. There's the income tax
yes.
difference. Like, that's a, when you're talking about a guy who's signing a contract for about $50 million, that income tax oh, yeah. difference, like, oh, we're yeah. talking about multiple millions of dollars.
And that's what I mean. You know, like, is the money that you spent there what you couldn't do there? And is that why we're bargain bin shopping to go try and look at a DJ Wanham, who clearly is the second guy on that list if you're looking at the guys on that list? I don't know, man. We'll see what the Bears end up doing. Let's keep it going. Kevin Byard, how do you feel about this move? I like him. Solid vet. Mm-hmm. Think a good replacement for Eddie Jackson. Don't think you got him at a crazy amount of money. And I think he has an ability to return to the ball hawk that we've seen.
Yeah.
Because now he's going to be in a defense very similar to what he was on with Tennessee, where they were able to get pressure up front. And you had somebody really good standing next to him.
Yeah, I like the Byard signing. I think that with him, he was obviously in a terrible situation last year.
That was
in
Philly
and Tennessee.
Yeah, it was a
terrible situation. He's got the skins on the wall, former All-Pro guy. And I think the Bears probably view him along the same track that they viewed what Eddie was starting to do before the injuries picked up with him, where you had a guy who at that point in time, for his career, was a reclamation project, and they started to get him back with the juice and the turnovers and all that. Right. He looked like that guy. Now, Byard's a much better tackler.
Yes. It 120
doesn't take
tackles.
Much.
Had to deal with having to tackle a lot last year, though, mm-hmm. because everybody in front of him was giving up big plays.
Right. And listen, it's not a high bar to clear being a better tackler than Eddie Jackson was.
What did Eddie have last year? He had 40 tackles.
Well, I mean, just and just the willingness, I think, to tackle as well. But I think that my one qualm with it is I don't know if I want to be the first. And it's the same way I feel about Swift. From the Bears, when you saw all the running backs that are available, you saw all the safeties that were available, over $100 million in safety salaries were cut this offseason. Why was I the first one in both of those markets? You were the first to sign a safety. You signed a safety before free agency even started because he was released. You were the first signing of all of free agency.
Yeah,
the Bears were the first back-to-back years. Hang the banner, by the way. Hang the banner back-to-back. First signings of free agency. And they just coincidentally also are former Eagles. But you were the first one to make a move on a running back, too. That, to me, For those two positions that we've seen are very replaceable, I don't know if I want to be the first one diving into the market on both.
Yeah.
I probably don't even want to be the first on one of them, but on both?
I think I'm fine with being the first on safety because, realistically speaking, the expectation, and I'm sure with the research that they've done, everybody else was going is going to be more. Right? 7.5 for a safety, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the Packers end up getting
Xavier McKinney,
mm-hmm. Really good name, young name.
Young guy.
I think he's a really good addition to that defense, but they paid more and it's more long term. I think with Ryan Poles, when you look at kind of how he wants to do things, and we know how he is, he wants to have it where it's a probably 2-year project while I draft this young guy.
Yeah.
And we're able to replace him, right?
So I'm, and you don't even need to draft him this year.
No, right. You don't need to draft
him
this year. You got him for
third
a couple
round next
of years.
Year.
Yeah, I mean, like you've got opportunity there. You drafted one last year, I believe, mm-hmm. in the fourth or fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're able to get kind of some more development there, and he's able to learn a little bit more. Like, I think that those are things that you why I don't mind them jumping in the market. Because to me, right, like, the names that I wanted, Xavier McKinney, Quandre Diggs, right? Like, you know, the price attached to them is going to be higher, and Quandre Diggs maybe more short term, but higher number yeah. versus Xavier McKinney, who maybe a little bit less money, but more long term.
Yeah. Listen, I'm cool. I feel the same way about safeties as I do about running backs. I don't feel the need.
You got dime a dozen on safeties.
Yeah, like
too?
I don't feel it feels like they've
there's a lot of safeties
and I think the league told you that this offseason with all of them that got cut or not retained. Like the market was clearly like telling you that, you know, you can draft one of these guys yeah. every 4 or 5 years, maybe sign a guy for the cheap as like a holdover bridge guy yeah. and you'll be just fine.
Yeah. And I think that's what the Bears did. I'm not mad at them.
No,
I'm not mad at them because I'm not mad at the price that they paid for Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
I guess based on the price that we paid for Swift infuriated me at first. And then I saw how much other guys were getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, like it's not as bad, but still too much.
Yeah.
$15 million to Saquon Barkley, who by the way, fell off. Mm-hmm. I get it. Like Muggs are like, well, you know, he had a bad offensive line and a bad quarterback play. And they didn't know what offense they were running. He had the same thing when he ran when he had 2,000 all-purpose yards. Like
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Like he's slowly falling off, guys. It's okay. Like he's going the wrong direction. He wasn't a top 5 rusher in the NFL last year. He wasn't a top 10 rusher in the NFL last year. He wasn't a top 15 rusher in the NFL last year.
You know
year.
What's crazy about Saquon to me? Everyone's always banging the drum for Saquon Barkley. Guy's never been an All-Pro.
Yep.
Guy's got 2 Pro Bowls.
Yep.
Guy's got 3,000 yard seasons.
Yep.
In 6 years?
Yep.
Dog. I know there's been injuries, but like injuries are part of the game.
Dog.
Like,
and I get it.
I'm not saying he's not good,
My guy who's a Giants fan, I literally said, you drafted a running back with no offensive line, he's gonna die. You have mm-hmm. like you set him up to fail. He was really, really good, and then you beat him into the ground. And yeah. guess what? He's not going to rise out of the sun like a phoenix. Like he's beaten down, and you saw it last year. And listen, maybe in Philly with a better offensive line, he'll be better.
Listen, he'll be
much
good.
More worth his $15 million. But here's the biggest question in Philly. Your starting Hall of Fame center just retired. Who's snapping the football? Who you focused on running back. Who's snapping the football?
You know, I brought this up yesterday to Waddle and Sylvie. You look at the Eagles cap, they've got $246 million already allocated for next year.
Yeah.
The big money kicks in for A.J. Brown. The big money kicks in for Jalen Hurts. I think there's about like $60, $70 million allocated between those two guys alone.
Yeah.
That's going to be about a quarter of your cap for next year. Is Devontae Smith going to be available?
That's not a bad name. That you might
Devontae
be right
Smith
on that.
About to be available.
You might be right on that.
Because listen, you can't get out of the AJ Brown contract.
No, you're in that.
You're not getting out of the Jalen. Now, listen, maybe Jeffrey Lurie says, you know what? I'll bite the bullet. I'll restructure and I'll create cap space. So we can't. He may do that.
Yeah.
He very well may do that. But that's a lot of money you're going to have to make up, and you're going to be probably working with about $10 million to sign 5 players
yep.
for next year.
Yep. You're like, not, listen, you now, in all fairness, they're in this situation because they went all in for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They made the Super Bowl. They did not win the Super Bowl, but they made the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That is important.
Lead on Patrick Mahomes.
Had a lead
Super
on Pat Mahomes.
A late lead.
Yeah, I mean, like those are things where it's like, I'm okay with you kind of looking 2-3 years down the road and going, oh, man, we might be in a little bit of trouble here with this
yeah.
cap. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, because, like, I hope the Bears get there. I hope we look at our cap 1 year after coming off of a Super Bowl win and going, all right, we got to figure out how we're going to get
yeah.
back. Like, that's
little
what
bit of cap
GMs
help,
yeah. do.
Yeah,
I mean, like, that's mm-hmm. that's what the Rams did. They got their Super Bowl. They put themselves in a little mm-hmm. bit of cap trouble. Mm-hmm. They found OBJ on the cheap because he ended up getting cut. They went to the Super Bowl and they win it. Like, I'm fine with that.
But, like, good GMs know how to bounce back from that.
Yes.
Like, you look at the Rams, and even though the Rams didn't win a playoff game this year,
yeah.
they were in the playoffs. Yes. I don't think people thought they would be in the playoffs this year. And
not
it's because you found Puka Nacua, you found Kyron Williams, you've drafted other guys well, you've made good signings, you've made good moves, and that's why you found yourself in the playoffs in a year where a lot of people thought that you might be drafting inside the top 10 because of the cap hell you were in. Same thing with the Eagles. I mean, you win the Super Bowl in 2017.
Yep.
You're back in it in 2023. Sure, there's a lean year or two in there as well. But the fact that you can bounce right back that quickly to get to that portion. And oh, by the way, you don't have quarterback continuity between 2017 to 2023. You've switched over guys.
You
don't have
coaching continuity because you fired the coach who was like, I think Jalen Hurts is better. He was right.
And yeah, like that right there is what good organizations do. So yeah, Philly may not put Devontae Smith on the market.
Yeah.
And they may go find ways to go all in by restructuring contracts, but maybe guys don't agree to restructuring too. Like, who knows? It takes both sides. Now, I don't know why you wouldn't agree to a restructure. It may end up hurting you down the line, like we've seen with guys in the past, like Aaron Jones, it just happened to. Maybe guys don't agree to a restructure, but you just allocated a lot of money in a running back.
Yeah.
You allocated a lot of money in Landon Dickerson. Great player. I would have done the same with Landon Dickerson. But you also just poured a lot of money into your kicker. Like, and where's and oh, by the way, you reset the market with the quarterback when you signed him at the time.
Yeah.
And you're paying big money to a receiver in A.J. Brown. Like, the money, this is a hard cap league. Oh, yeah. Like, there's no working around. It's not like baseball where you can pay a luxury tax, or basketball where you pay a luxury tax. Like, this is the NFL. You are allowed to spend $255 million.
Yep.
No more, no less. And unless you get guys to agree to restructures and an owner that agrees to restructures, that team's going to be in cap hell and may have to make some tough decisions.
Oh, yeah. And those tough decisions may benefit the Chicago Bears because apparently they love everybody from Philly. I mean, like anybody that
Ian Cunningham on line one. Dog, make it happen.
When I tell you he's calling people personally, like he's just like line one, he's picking up the cell phone. Mm-hmm. What was back in the day? Your Fave Five? Was that
T-Mobile? Yeah, yeah.
His Fave Five. He's got Philly in the Fave Five, just straight to the owner. That was an old reference. Half the people watching this probably don't get it.
I don't think that's that old.
I feel like Fave Five.
You know what?
2005.
If your first cell phone was a smartphone, you don't get that reference.
Yeah.
But if your first cell phone wasn't a smartphone, like if your first cell phone was like a Razor what was it, like the chocolate or whatever it was called, the LG chalk. Like if that was one of your first phones, then you get that reference.
No, I'm not gonna lie. This is a deep cut. I heard the Nokia. Somebody was playing Nokia ringtones the other day, and they played Kick. Uh-huh. And that was one of the go-tos there. You knew about the Nokia Kick song. Yo, they was making them.
I think my mom's
8-bit bangers.
My mom's first cell phone was a Nokia. It was like a Nokia flip phone. And I made sure to change it to the Kick.
Dog, you had to. That was the go-to tone. Like it was there was no options on it. Mm-hmm. Let's get to some of these other dog, we just went down memory lane. Let's get to some of these other names here, real quick. Matt Pryor. I mean, the rest of them are kind of
like Matt Pryor, yeah, Matt Brett Pryor, Rippins, what you got? Like, listen, you need depth on the offensive line. If he can build some depth on the offensive line, so be it. That's like we saw it last year. Guys get hurt on the offensive, especially these guys.
Yeah,
hurt on the offensive line. You had what, two guys or three guys go on IR last year?
Yeah,
on this offensive line and
Braxton, Tevin, and Nate Davis.
And Dakota Whitehair too.
Darnell played with a half an arm.
Right, exactly. For the whole season. So you need depth on the offensive line. I'm all for bringing in more offensive linemen. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and go down the third or fourth string quarterback that we signed. We brought in Simone Biles' husband. Good signing there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Simone Biles is now like all of a sudden one of these. Like, I feel like Jonathan Owens playing in Green Bay suppressed what Simone Biles could be as like a face of like NFL wives and girlfriends. But now that she's in Chicago and she's like embraced the hell out of Chicago already, it's like it goes Taylor Swift 1.
Wow, hold on now. You got Swift 1.
Swift
and then
1. Sierra 2.
Good call.
I feel like she's getting forgotten though.
Is Simone Biles over Sierra here though? I feel like Simone Biles for history.
I think more people know Simone Biles.
Really?
And like in general, everyone watches the Olympics.
Well, first off, Cap still calls her Ciara. So, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, yeah. I feel like, I don't know.
But I feel like
that's close.
I
that's
feel
close.
Like this. Here's what happened. Simone Biles just leaped Christian Juszczyk.
Yeah.
Because the fact that Jonathan Owens now plays in Chicago elevates Simone. Like, I don't think people realize that Simone Biles was married to an NFL player.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize that. But now that he's in Chicago, people realize that she's dating an NFL player. So Christian Juszczyk is bumped down.
I don't know, because wasn't there that whole thing where, like, he went on, was it Pivot Pod? And he was I didn't know who Simone Biles was.
He put his foot in his mouth. I had no idea. Good, yeah.
No, but like, see, this is when he said it, I was like, you have to think, like, again, a 21-year-old college kid that plays football.
But then
I'm in college, I'm going to football practice, and the time he's in college, she's winning all her Olympic medals. Mm-hmm. He's probably not watching.
But didn't people...
anything. And in high school, you're definitely not pulling up the Olympics.
But didn't people dig up, like, old tweets of his about, like...
Did they?
About, like, old gymnasts. Like, he was watching gymnastics at the Olympics. Maybe I have this
maybe,
wrong,
maybe. I don't... That part, I don't know. Wrong on that. But Simone... So you got... We got Swift 1. Swift of course, is 1. Mm-hmm. You got Sierra 2.
Yes.
Sierra to the Steel Curtain is 2, though. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. I might have to put Simone Biles too, dog. I think she might be the second biggest celebrity in football right now.
Part of it too is the position that your husband plays.
Yes.
Like Jonathan Owens is going to come in here, be a special teams guy and a backup secondary
piece. Backup secondary piece, yeah.
Russell Wilson is going to be the quarterback for one of the winningest franchises NFL history.
That's true. It also depends, though.
What if he's the backup?
That'd be crazy. He gets beat out. All right, Pickett, we're rolling with you. What would be insane, though, is, right, I think it also depends on playoff success or where you're at in the standing. Mm-hmm. Like, the Bears being a winning team, first off, Simone Biles probably not coming unless the Bears are winning. Mm-hmm. And the Bears being a winning team makes it a bigger story than anything.
Like, think about it too. Like,
if Taylor Swift is there during the season, but the Chiefs don't make the playoffs, we don't care.
We're gonna be on the heels of a Summer Olympics too. Like, that's I think that's why people knew she was married to him in the first place was whenever the Packers were on Sunday Night Football, she was always at the game.
Right.
And NBC is trying to pump up their Olympic coverage and all that, so they're showing her on the sidelines in her big, like, puffy Packers jacket and all that. Yeah,
burn all that stuff, please.
And yeah, exactly. And then we're going to be on the heels of the Olympics here. She's obviously a face in the Olympics and all that. So they'll be talking about, we saw some great stuff at the Olympics. There's Simone Biles, blah, blah, blah.
And Sierra's not coming out with no new good music. I'm not going to lie. I've tried. Listen, y'all know I'll pull up to see Sierra dance anytime. The music that is accompanied by the dance has not been bangers in the slightest. That's an interesting breakdown. Let us know who you think did Simone Biles move into the second biggest?
Does she have silver right now? Does she have silver?
Oh, does she have silver right now? Good, or is good she plug bronze? There.
Or is she is off she, the podium?
Is she silver or bronze?
We're definitely forgetting someone big, too.
In the NFL? Is there another NFL wife that we're forgetting?
Well,
I feel like, maybe it's because I watched the podcast. I feel like Jason Kelsey's wife has become a popular
Well, I was going to say, what
but
about...
But it's because of Jason.
What about Brittany Mahomes, too?
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
She's not they're not jumping them, but like they're in the team photo.
They're on the team. Like if somebody said Brittany Mahomes, you would know that's Pat Mahomes' wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's tough, dog. Those are the three. Like I'd go Swift gold.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go Simone silver. Sorry, Simone. I hope to have you on the podcast one day. And I'd probably go Sierra bronze just because I think that most people are over Russ. And like maybe you're less over Sierra than you are Russ. Like you're – nobody's out on Sierra. Uh-huh. But I think a lot of people are out on Russ.
That's fair. That's fair.
I don't know, man. We'll see. That. Let us know how you guys feel in the comments below. We're not breaking down like the fifth string quarterback that's going to be cut by the time training camp starts. Appreciate you guys for showing love. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Tyler Aki, I'm Pat the Designer. Y'all stay safe out of Chicago. Bear down.